1 Kings chapter 18, we'll begin reading in verse 41, and then we will look at James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." And then James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. James 5, 17 and 18. James writes, "Elias," or Elijah, "was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." And we now come to our seventh lesson, studying the life and ministry of the prophet Elijah. And tonight's lesson is entitled, "God is a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God." Here in the life of Elijah, we see that Elijah was a man of prayer. We cannot talk about the prophet Elijah without mentioning his fervent prayer life. Elijah had a deep devotion with his God. Elijah was a man of faithful prayer. And I want us to consider, back to lesson one, how the rain was stopped. Elijah goes to King Ahab and predicts a drought in the land. And James tells us in the New Testament that this drought came through the means of Elijah's prayer. God directed Elijah to pray, and God stopped the rain for 3 years. And here God is directing Elijah to pray again. And God allows the rain to fall after the Mount Carmel experience, after the contest with the false prophets of Baal. God is going to send forth the rain again. Elijah confronts Ahab with a message of judgment because Ahab has encouraged the people of God to turn their back on the true and living God and worship Baal. And the people of God, because of their disobedience, deserve the full consequence of their sin. And so Elijah comes forecasting no rain. And the Apostle James highlights the fact that it was through Elijah's prayer that the rain stopped, and through Elijah's prayer that the rain began. Again, if I can read it from James chapter 5, "He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain." And the concluding verses of 1 Kings chapter 18 and James chapter 5, 17 and 18 present to us a powerful lesson on the subject of prayer. A powerful lesson on the subject of prayer that we would do well to take heed to. So let me begin tonight speaking to you about prayer by explaining what prayer is. And then I would like us to consider four characteristics, four features of Elijah's prayer life that we ought to seek to implement in ours. So what is prayer? Let's begin there. Prayer is not spontaneous reflection. Passive reflection, passive thinking about God is not prayer. There are some who believe that mere meditation about God is praying, thinking about all that He is and all that He has done, that somehow it's the biblical exercise of prayer, but that is not prayer. Prayer is more than that. And we see in the Scriptures that prayer is not senseless repetition. And Jesus taught on that. Now, some people senselessly pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, bread, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins," and they go through it mindlessly repeating, not considering what they are saying. Or perhaps you've heard, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, my Lord, pray the Lord my soul to keep. Angels watch me through the night and wake me with the morning light. Amen." Or perhaps, "God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for the food. Amen." A mindless repetition. But prayer is not that. Prayer is not spontaneous reflection. Prayer is not senseless repetition. And prayer is not mindlessly reciting the same words over and over. Prayer, as defined in the Bible, in its simplest term, is talking to God. That is what prayer is, talking to God. It is the pouring out of one's heart and soul to God. One author calls prayer our lifeline to God. And Thomas Watson writes that prayer is the soul's breathing itself into the bosom of its Heavenly Father. And to further explain the essence of prayer, what it is, let me give you one of the most helpful descriptions of prayer that I have ever heard. And the description is described in four ways of how one can pray. It's given in the form of an acronym, A-C-T-S, ACTS, A-C-T-S. What is prayer? What does it include? Well, it includes these four things. And the first one is adoration. What is prayer? Prayer is adoration. That is ascribing worth to God. And Moses does this in Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. And Moses prays, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Moses prays, ascribing worth to God. And he is adoring God in prayer. In Psalm 145, verse 3, we have this great prayer: "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." What is prayer? Prayer is adoring God. Prayer is saying to God that God is good. The prayer is ascribing worth by telling Him how merciful He is, how powerful He is, how loving He is, how just He is, how holy He is. It is going to God and saying, "God, You are my rock, You are my tower, You are my salvation, my joy, my all." Prayer is adoration. "Lord, You have loved me when I have been unlovable. Lord, You have been faithful when I have been unfaithful." What is prayer? It is adoration. The prayer is also confession, and that's the second letter, A, and then C, confession. Confessing to God our sinfulness, confessing of our insufficiencies, confessing of our need for Him. And we see this exemplified in the life of David in his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. David prays after his sin, committing adultery with Bathsheba. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the tender multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight."
Now, David is praying because he is confessing. He is repenting of his sin and desiring to be cleansed by God. We have also David in Psalm 22:19 saying, "Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me." Acknowledging his weakness, acknowledging his need for God's guidance. Prayer is confessing that we need him all the time. Lord, without you, I am nothing. Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Lord, I confess my unbelief. I confess my coldness of heart. I confess I do not obey as I ought. God, have mercy upon me and help me. What is prayer? It is adoration, and prayer is confession. But prayer is also thanksgiving. In Psalm 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul tells the church there in Thessalonica, in everything give thanks. Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is thanking God. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, God, for the blessing of family. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Thank you for the godly friends you have given to me. Thank you for the food that you provide. Thank you for good health so that I might serve you and worship you. Thank you, Father, for the scriptures. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and how the Spirit convicts us when we do wrong. Thank you, Lord, for the church. And we praise God in thanksgiving, and that is prayer. And that is a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. Now, prayer is adoration. Prayer is confession. Prayer is thanksgiving. And then prayer is also supplication. Supplication, asking specific requests of God. Asking for personal needs. Asking for the needs of others. Lord, give me a greater love for you. Give me a greater love for your word. God, work in so-and-so's life. God, grant me boldness to witness. God, heal this person. God, give me wisdom. God, give me strength. God, you know our need of finances. You have told us you will not fail us. God, please provide in this particular way. So acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And supplication is specific requests for God to work in a particular way. And this is exactly what we find Elijah doing. Elijah is specifically asking God for the rain to come again. He is asking the hand of the Lord to pour forth showers so that people might know that he is the true and living God. This account given to us here in 1 Kings chapter 18 is given to us to strengthen our prayer life so that we might be encouraged to be a more faithful prayer warrior. God heard Elijah's prayers. And listen, we should desire that God would hear our prayers. We should not just pray to pray. We should pray expecting God to answer. We should pray believing that God has ordained through prayer that he brings things to pass. Is it not easy to become in a routine? Well, we are commanded to pray, so we pray, but we really don't think about what we're praying, and we're really not looking for the answers to our prayers. But Elijah prayed expecting God to answer. He did not just pray up into the sky and got lost somewhere in between. Now, he prayed expecting that the ears of God were open and that the ears of God were hearing his prayers. And so we ask this, how can we have our prayers answered? Like Elijah, we want to be a man of prayer. We want to be a woman of prayer. We want to be a family of prayer. We want to be a church of prayer. So how can we have the assurance of prayer? How do we know that our prayers can be answered? Well, let me give you four important truths regarding prayer. Number one, God hears the prayers of those who are righteous. God hears the prayers of those who are righteous through salvation. You see, prayer is an exercise for believers. While unbelievers claim to pray, and they may pray, there's not that union that believers have with Christ. They're not abiding in the vine as born-again believers are. And prayer is specifically for believers to communicate with their Father. It is within the nature of a true Christian to pray. A dog barks, a cat meows, and Christians pray. It is in their nature. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul tells us this, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." How do we know that we have been birthed in the kingdom of God? How do we know that we are truly one of God's children? Well, we have this desire to cry out to God. The Holy Spirit indwells within us. Jesus is now interceding for us, and we pray to God. It's an evidence of true salvation, prayer is. Prayer is a special communication relationship between God and His children. And Elijah is one of God's children. Elijah is a true child of God, and God hears the prayers of His children. And then we also note this, God hears those who are righteous, not only in salvation, but in their lifestyle. Those who are holy, those who live according to God's word. Now, there's a very unbiblical opinion slithering through the minds of Christians that a professing Christian only has to plead the name of Christ when praying. Despite his character, despite his lifestyle, if he simply uses the name of Christ, it's almost like a magic formula that ensures that his prayer will be answered. And church, be careful of this. This is under some of the spiritual warfare heading. If you claim the blood of Christ, if you simply say the name Jesus enough, he will hear, despite whether you're living in adultery, despite whether you're unsubmissive to your husband, despite if you're habitually disobeying your parents, if you just pray in the name of Jesus, your prayers will automatically come to pass. That's an unbiblical teaching. And such a belief is nonsense, because the Bible repeatedly places great emphasis on the obedience of a Christian and their access to God in prayer. Let me give you some proof texts of this. Psalm 66, verse 8. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." That is, if we grow stubborn in our sin, if we know the will of God and refuse to do it, if we shake our fists at God and fulfill the lust of our flesh, the Bible says that God is going to close His ears to our prayer. In John chapter 15, verse 7, Jesus said, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." See, the tie, see the connection between prayer and the lifestyle. If we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight, and we ask, we receive. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, Peter tells husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge and to give honor unto the wife, that their prayers be not hindered. So there's the connection. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Honor her. Be there for her so that your prayers are not hindered. Now, this is not to say that God hears and answers our prayers because we somehow manipulate Him or merit His favor. Now, we don't believe that our holy, righteous lifestyle somehow moves God to answer our prayers and He just applauds at our goodness and say, okay, you're good enough, I'll answer your prayer. No, He sees the sincerity of our hearts and He knows whether we are seeking to be obedient children. Parents, you know, as you raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Your children say, can we go to the park? Can we go to McDonald's? Can we do such and such? And yet they've been little rebels all week. And you say, you know, no, we're not going to McDonald's. We're having soup and salad and water. And going to bed at 7 o'clock with no dessert. But what if a child has been obeying you with a good attitude, has been nothing but a great help? Don't you delight in pouring blessings on that child? Aren't you teaching them that obedience is right? And obedience is good, and obedience has its rewards. And disobedience, and there are consequences. Obedience, there are rewards. And so God does the same with us. Why should God delight to hear and answer the prayers of those who live contrary to His word? And we have observed from the life of Elijah that he has been one striving to obey the voice of the Lord. Again, God tells him to go to the brook. What does he do? He goes. God tells him to go to Zarephath. What does he do? He goes. God tells him to go to Ahab. He goes. Elijah lived a life of holiness in the midst of a pagan society. He did not compromise. He stayed faithful. And we learn here, if we are faithful to God, God will answer our prayers. And this ought to be a great encouragement to live a holy life, to strive to keep ourselves pure and to prevent ourselves from being given to youthful lusts that war against the soul. It's almost a warning that God puts in our hearts saying, you better walk uprightly, live according to the word of God, because if we stubbornly kick against the commandments of the Lord, we won't have the blessing of answered prayer. God hears the prayers of those who are righteous. We learn that from Elijah. And then secondly, we learn that God hears the prayers of those who will pray earnestly. In James chapter 5, verse 17, he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Elijah didn't just pray, he prayed earnestly. Now, what does it mean to pray earnestly? Well, it means to believe what we pray. Elijah prayed with his heart, not just his mind, but his heart. There's a difference. There was an intenseness of spirit when he prayed. Now, to earnestly pray does not mean that one will always cry and shed tears. Does it mean that one will shout in his prayers? I've met people like that, more in the charismatic Pentecostal crowd, and they just shout, almost shout and scream at God, and they think that their earnestness is in their shouting and screaming. Or to pray earnestly doesn't mean that you have to have the language of the Puritans and speak like you live in the 1600s. saying these and thous and eloquent words. No, earnestness means to be sincere in heart, to earnestly desire the blessing that we desire. And John Bunyan said it very well. He said, in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Let me repeat that. In prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. And we see the example from Hannah. Hannah goes to the Lord as she goes to the house of God praying. She's pouring out her soul before the Lord, and Eli thinks she's drunk. She's praying so fervently that he thinks she's been at the bottle a bit too long. And she says, no, I'm of a heavy heart, and I'm praying to God. It is possible then also to have words in prayer, but no heart. And God would have our hearts. And if we desire God to hear our prayers, we must be earnest. We must seek the Lord with all of our hearts, believing that God is able. If we do not believe that God is able, we might as well not pray. With God, all things are possible. There is nothing too hard for Him. And so we go with a sense of this in our hearts and minds. God, You are able. And so we are praying earnestly in this way so that You might answer, and You're the only one that can answer. Lord, You're the only one that can save this soul. God, You're the only one that can provide in this way. You're the only one that can provide comfort for me in my time of distress. Lord, help me, I pray. God hears the prayers of those who pray earnestly. And it's easy to become mindless in prayer. It's easy to become merely routine and not considering what we are doing and also who we are approaching. We must pray earnestly. The third point we see from Elijah's prayer life is that God hears the prayers of those who pray continually. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah was not a one-and-done prayer. No, he gave himself to praying all the time. And church, remember this. Sometimes I think we think, when the pastor preaches, do you pray? When we ask each other, how's your prayer life? We often think, well, it's a 20-minute thing that happens at a table. It's a time that happens in a prayer closet. And we do confess there ought to be a place that we get alone with God, but prayer happens all the day. Prayer happens throughout the day in all of our activities. Don't just limit it to a time where you sit down. We ought to pray continually, constantly. We ought to always, as we breathe the air, so we ought to pray to God. It ought to be that natural. And that's what it means when the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. You're driving in the car, pray. You're walking to your cabin, you're praying. And what is prayer? Again, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's more than just asking God. He's not the celestial Santa Claus who showers us with gifts. No, prayer is adoring Him, confessing, thanking Him. Thank you, Lord, for this week. Thank you, Father, for the time with my friends. Thank you. I praise you. And it's a continual feasting with God in prayer. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we so often faint spiritually because we do not pray continually. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus teaches the disciples to pray. The disciples come to Jesus and they ask a question, Lord,
teach us to pray. And I know you've heard it before. The disciples never came to Jesus and said, teach us to preach. They never came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to walk on water. Lord, teach us to cast out demons. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. There was something unusual about Jesus' relationship with God through prayer that they wanted to learn. And in that teaching, Jesus says, when you pray, you need to ask, you need to seek, you need to knock. You need to be like that friend at midnight and continue knocking on the door until you receive an answer. Pray continually. We need to be like Jacob and to say, God, I will not let you go until you bless me. Now, this can be very difficult because we want instant success, don't we? We live in a drive-through culture, a microwave society, hot pockets in 2 minutes, top ramen in 5 minutes, my Starbucks drink on my mobile Go app, give it to me now. And we grow discouraged when we pray and we see nothing happen. But we need to understand, as we come to the throne of grace, we need to wait in prayer and persevere. And God allows us to wait because he does not want us to think that it was by our prayers that we gained it. That's often why God delays. It's not really a delay because God's timing is perfect, but our thinking that God is delaying is because if we asked right now for something and God gave it to us, we would be puffed up in our minds. Well, look at that. I prayed. God did it. Oh, well, look at that. But when the prayer requests come, we pray continually and then our prayers are answered. We can only give glory to God. God hears the prayers of those who will pray continually. And then God hears the prayers of those who pray according to the Word. God hears the prayers of those who pray according to His Word. Elijah prayed claiming the promises of Scripture. God said in Deuteronomy 11, 16, and 17 that there would be an absence of rain if Israel turned themselves aside and served other gods. So Elijah prayed with his mind recalling God's promises and asking God to bring those promises to pass. Elijah's prayers were not rooted in his own imagination. Elijah was not asking God to do neat tricks. He was asking God to stay faithful to his word and will. And this is a great help to us. In our prayer life, what do we pray? Have you ever learned to pray the Scripture? What do I mean by that? Pray the Scripture to the Lord. Pray according to His will. The Word is God's will. And so we pray, Christ, you promised that you will build your church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So build our church. Save souls. Let your kingdom come. Father, you said in James, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God, I need wisdom, and specifically in this trial, so I'm coming to you, the fountain of wisdom, asking that you would help me. You're praying Scripture. Lord, you said you would not leave me nor forsake me, so I'm holding on to this promise, believing that you will help me in my time of need. Lord, you said you will provide for the birds of the air and the foxes of the field. And Lord, you know my resources are coming low. Lord, let your word come to pass. Pray the Scripture. And the Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. This includes praying in faith. Praying in faith is praying in the will of God, praying according to the Scriptures, all right? That's why we call out those preachers on television who promise the name it and claim it. Just pray for the Mercedes and you can have it. Pray for the large mansion on Lake Washington and it's yours. If you have enough faith, go ahead. Well,
No, James tells us not to pray to consume things on our lusts. God tells us, having food and raiment therewith, let us be content. And so that's not praying according to the will of the Lord. And we submit our prayers to the teachings of Scripture, to the desires of God. And I love this verse as referencing faith and referring to prayer. Speaking of Abraham in Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, he staggered not, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And here's what faith is. You want a definition of faith? Here it is, Romans 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able to bring it to pass. That's faith. Believing that what God promises in his word, that he is able to bring it to pass. And that's exactly what we need to remember when we pray. God, look what you did with Israel. God, look what you did with Elijah. Surely you can do great things now. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. There's no shadow of turning with you. So God, hear me and work mightily for your name's sake. Why did God move Elijah to pray? Why did God answer Elijah's prayer requests? Why would God answer our prayers? God answers prayer to glorify his name. Elijah prayed that it would rain so that people could see that God and not Baal had power over heaven and earth. Again, the people, the Gentiles, the worshiper of Baal, thought that Baal was the one who had power to give life, the one who controlled the weather. But Elijah proclaiming God, the true and living God, and after the great contest on Mount Carmel, is showing again that he is the true and living God. And so when prayer is answered, we recognize in our hearts and others recognize that he is the true God. The first time I met the Houston family, I met them when Anna was in Seattle going through treatments for her cancer. And I heard of a church in Bremerton praying and praying fervently and praying faithfully. And God answered his prayer. Why? So that Anna could go on all the talk shows and talk about how good that she did in the hospital? No, if she was here, she would tell you. So that his name would be glorified. Praise to God. And what a testimony she has to share. God was good. God saw me through it. Let his name be glorified. And we could talk testimonies of answered prayers in our life. And God does it so that he might be magnified, so that he might be glorified, so that he might be known, so that unbelievers might hear, who is this God that you serve? Tell me about his power. Tell me about his goodness. I don't know a God who is living. So the Buddhists could hear, your God answers prayer. So the Mohammedans, those who follow Islam, might hear, you have a God who hears and answers prayer. Let me know more about him. God answers prayer to glorify his name. And God revealed himself again to Ahab and the entire nation, hoping that those backslidden Israelites would see that God is the true God. Now, this should be our primary desire, to have our prayers answered, not so that we can pat ourselves on the back and show other people our prayer journal and how good we are at praying, but so that he might receive all the praise. Let me give you one final encouragement in this passage and this topic of prayer. In this context of prayer and Elijah,
James notes in James 5:17 that Elias was a man of like passions as we are. This is encouraging. This teaches us something. It teaches us that Elijah did not have a VIP access card to God that guaranteed his prayers were going to be answered. See, we do that with people in the scripture. Well, Elijah's way up here spiritually, and I'm way down here. I might as well not even try to pray. Elijah had access to God that I will never attain. No, James wants us to know that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. In other words, Elijah was faced with doubts. He was a sinner saved by grace. Elijah was often overcome by fear. Elijah was susceptible to the temptations that we face. He was human. Isn't this an encouragement to us? If Elijah was human, if he was like one of us, he was not an angelic being, why can't our prayers be answered? Don't we serve the same God? Is his ear deaf that it cannot hear? Is his arm short that it cannot save? Oh no, we serve the God of Elijah. And God is able to hear us and to answer according to his will. How is our prayer life? Do we have a prayer life? What specific things are you asking God for? And what specific things are you asking God for that only He can bring to pass? Are you earnest in prayer? Do you pray with your whole heart? And do you pray continually? Perhaps you once prayed for a lost family member and you prayed earnestly, but you've given up. You've come under the consideration that God somehow is not going to answer. You're praying for your children. You're praying for the church. You're praying for the pastor. And yet you've grown weary in well-doing and you've lost your fervency in prayer. Let this passage encourage you to pray and to pray on. Do we pray according to God's word? Or do we pray from a life that is holy in seeking to obey the commandments of God? Listen, church, there's a great famine in our land, a spiritual famine. And we need to pray that God would send forth His Spirit. Do we only read about the great awakenings that have happened in the past and we consider, well, that happened years ago, that'll never happen again? We read of churches that have experienced the blessing of God in unusual ways, and we say, well, that was then, this is now. Our world's getting worse, so it's no use. There's no use in praying for revival. There's no use in gathering our family around the family altar at night and getting on our knees and asking God to pour forth His blessing. Why couldn't God send forth His Spirit in our land once again and cause there to be a great revival and allowing it to start at Westside Baptist Church in Bremerton, Washington? Who says it can't happen? You know, all great revivals started with prayer. People praying. People sometimes knowing that people, they didn't know people were praying behind the scenes, but people were praying. And did you know that often when Spurgeon preached, there were people praying, and they had prayer meetings throughout the week? And I know we herald this one man, the prince of preachers, and God used him, but we often forget the prayer warriors who prayed for God's blessing. And so pray for your pastor. Pray for the Lord's Day. Pray for God's blessing to come upon the people who gather on Sundays. Pray that people would be saved. Pray that marriages would be strong. Pray that children would walk in the fear of the Lord. Pray that backsliders would be restored to the church. Pray that the community of Bremerton would be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that God would turn the hearts of the people of our nation. Pray that God would do exceeding above all that we ask or think. We often limit God. And Israel limited God. In the Old Testament, we read that in Psalms. May we never limit God and what He can do. Pray. Pray. Pray like Elijah. And let us have faithful and fervent prayer lives. May you be a person, a Christian, of prayer, and may this church be a church of prayer.